Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to know I'm loved. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. It's so good to be with you and to minister the word of God. As I was preparing, I'm thinking, you know, just about everything that I'm going to say, you've already heard before. But I guess faith comes by hearing, so we need to hear it again and again and again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for teaching us tonight. We have attentive ears to hear and hearts to receive. We pray, Lord God, that you would give us increased revelation from the word of God. Bring encouragement to us. Help us to continue on in our walk of faith. And Father, we pray that whatever we hear, let it grow as seeds in our hearts and bring forth an abundant harvest in our lives. We pray, Lord God, that you will bring light where there is darkness, bring encouragement where there is despondency, bring healing where there was sickness, bring prosperity where there was lack, everywhere, Lord God, where we need to apply the word of God. We pray that this word will supply it, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our message today is My Testimony, How I Live by Faith. How I Live by Faith. And as I was recalling for the introduction, that I got born again on February 27th, 1983. And my husband and I both work for the same company, and he and a couple of other people at work would be witnessing to me, and I would hear it, and I would hear it. And then he invited me to the church where he attended, and I went forward, and I got born again, got baptized in water, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and my life totally changed. So I owe my eternal life to my husband. Amen. And then in less than 5 months, we were married. So just about all of my Christian life, I've been married. And so when I talk about my life of faith, for the most part, it's been my life of faith while I've been married. And how many of you know that's a walk of faith? As we tell people, especially today, I mean, to be married and to stay married, it's going to take some faith. So let's not be deceived. Because bringing two lives that are totally different in to become one, it takes some work. But God is good, because he gave us the example of married life being Christ in the church. And we know God's will for the church is good. So his will for our marriages are good. And so I think, you know, whenever I get up in the pulpit, there's an opportunity to tell my side of the story. Because we know our pastor has a lot of stories to tell. Sometimes I'll be talking to the person next to me. I'll say, yeah, okay. My time is coming, glory to God. So we will see as time permits. Okay, and so I'm just going to share just some nuggets that I've learned over the years. I've been married and saved for 31 years. Amen. And we come to learn a lot over the years. I got saved and married in a holiness church. And we were almost too overly dogmatic about what we believed. You know religious people, I mean, they're just so gung-ho and dogmatic about they believe. They don't believe anybody else is saved, but they're a little group. And that tends to come off a little harsh to people, especially our families and the people who know us before. It's like all of a sudden you're this changed person, and it's like you're trying to beat people over the head that they need to get saved. But I've come to learn that people need to see Jesus. That we really need to give people the benefit of the doubt that they're just doing the best that they know to do. And even if they're walking a path that seems to be a little further off the right path, you know, than we think it should be, that people are just doing what they know to do. And I've learned over the years that we need to give a little less law and a lot more grace. Especially if we expect God to extend some grace to us. And I think about that every time. Every time I would interact with somebody and I would have the opportunity to think something contrary to the word of God, I just remember that as much grace as I extend to them, I can only expect that much grace for God to extend to me. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Glory to God. Okay, so in my testimony of faith, I'm asking a question. How do I know when I'm a doer of the word?
And that is really our endeavor. When we get saved, when we get born again, we're in this change process, changing from that old person to the new person. Even though our spirits are born again, our souls are not saved. So there's a continual process of renewing our minds with the Word of God, trying to understand, okay, now what is this Christian life about? What am I supposed to be like? How am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to spend my time? Because in Christ, it says all things are become new. And there are expectations, and the more we learn of God and the more we learn of the Word of God, the more we learn, because it's a mirror. We learn who we are. And it's really good to know who you are. It's a bad thing in the world when you don't know who you are. Because you can really be subject to some strange things. When every whim, every new thing that comes along, you try to hop on the bandwagon. If you don't know who you are, you can really be subject to be taken advantage of. But in Christ, when we know who we are, we can just let that fad just pass on by. Amen? We don't have to let the merchants determine what's right to us, how we look. I mean, over the years, morality has been so influenced by the merchants that the standard of what we do, just because technology is available, people are doing and interacting in a lot of different ways than they would have without this technology. And so we just need to make sure that in our Christian walk, as we're growing in the Word, that we are not letting, just because technology puts a space between us and the act, that doesn't make it right. And that's a word for somebody. Okay, continuing on. How do I know that I'm a doer of the Word? Well, in Proverbs 16:9, there's a scripture that I like. It says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So we have a part to plan. We devise our way. We plan what we do. We try to find, what is my assignment? You know, what is my purpose? You wake up in the morning, you go to work, you make your plan on what you want to accomplish. So there's some things that we do, and then there's some things that God does. The Lord directs our steps. So we determine what we're going to do as we seek the Lord, and then God shows exactly how to go about it. Because it may not be the natural progression of things that will bring us to the expected end. Psalm 119:133, it says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." And so what I desire to do is let God direct my steps and make sure that the things that I'm doing really line up with the Word of God. Okay, so as I look over the past 30 years, what are some of the foundational things that have kept me strong? You know, what are the things that have held me steady? And I look at three things, and I'm going to cover each one. Number one is faith. Of course, it's faith. Number two is wisdom. And number three is relationship, my relationship with God. And in all of these items, making sure that I'm attempting to do the Word, not just hear it, because we can hear it and get in the habit of hearing. But it doesn't become real to us. This relationship doesn't come real to us until we start stepping out on it and acting on it and seeing that there is a lot more potential and there's a lot more on the inside of us than we think. So the scripture in James 1, verse 22 through 25, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so as we look into the Word, the Word brings freedom. It's not a word of bondage. The Word brings freedom. And as long as we set our hearts to be doers of the Word, then God says we'll be blessed in our deeds. So the blessing comes as a result of us acting on the Word. Not just believing, but the blessing comes as we are doers of the Word. There are several scriptures that mention this truth, and the one I'll mention is Habakkuk 2:4, "The just shall live by his faith." I can't live by my husband's faith. I can't live by my friend's. I have to live by my own faith. So what components make up faith? Proverbs 3, 19 and 20. When I think about faith, these are the three things I think about. "The Lord by wisdom," so that's one, wisdom, "has founded the earth by understanding," that's number two, "hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge," that's number three, "the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew." Let's turn back to verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Next verse. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So we see the other scripture that is partner this to this scripture, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So in Hebrews, it says, through faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. God's creative power, God's creative process of faith was engaged when he created the earth. God created the earth by faith. And we see in Proverbs that the three components of faith, that with the creative process, he iterated it again, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So as I set my heart to live by faith, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding have to be a part of that. You know, there are some people who say they're living by faith, but they're kind of off. They're zealous, but it's not wisdom. We need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that when we step out in faith, we have a foundation. We have a scriptural foundation. And faith brings a sense of stability and solidity to people. Even natural faith, you know, there are people that can walk by natural faith, but the spiritual faith that we get that comes from the Word of God, it's a faith. Let me read what I put down. Faith comes when you get a revelation of the reality of the unseen, and faith carries you along the process with confidence and determination until it is manifest. Faith comes when you get a revelation of the reality of the unseen, and faith carries you along the process with confidence and determination until it is manifest. So I'll use a natural example, then I'll use a spiritual example. Natural faith. I like to watch documentaries, historical documentaries sometimes. And when we look at inventors and scientists and creators in the various areas, it's amazing to see that common thread, that these are people who see beyond the horizon. These are people who just believe that there's more on the other side of what we can see. And a lot of times they spend their whole lives working and working and endeavoring and pushing the envelope, yes, to bring new technology. When we think of transportation, think of from the car to railroads to aerospace and going to the moon and beyond. I mean, somebody had to believe. I mean, if you would take somebody from 2,000 years ago and show them people getting on a rocket ship and going out, they would have think that's a miracle. But there is somebody who believed that through study and working and persevering that they could find a way to get from point A to point B. And they worked it and they worked it and they worked it. I mean, look at computers. I mean, while I was with, you know, years ago at IBM, it's like you had megabytes and now you've got terabytes, and it's like the technology, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It's almost getting into the realm of the spirit. That there are reality in this much technology, there is so much going on. So there are even people in the natural that as they work and as they study and as they press in for knowledge, they bring us beyond the natural barriers. So in the spirit, when we hear the word of God, we hear about the covenant, we hear about his precious promises, whatever it is, if it's health, if it's provision, if it's safety, if it's deliverance, whatever it is. We work the word. Just like our pastor teaches us, our labor is in the word, and we work to make that a reality so much in our hearts. The word, the sower sows the word, it goes into our hearts. We meditate it, we speak it, we pray it, we think about it, we envision it until the reality of this word is more real than the situations and the circumstances around us. 1 Peter 1:4. It says that we've been born again into an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God's word says there is something that belongs to us. It's reserved in the unseen realm. It's reserved. That means nobody else can get it. That means before the foundation of the world, God knew what we would need on planet Earth, and He reserved it for us. And so for us to use our faith and to press in to manifest the things in the Word of God, God delights in this. God said, Jesus said, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is pleased. Glory to God. In 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given, so that's past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So let me go to that scripture so that I can talk to it from the Word of God. In verse 3, it says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. As we read the word, let's set our hearts to really believe this. I believe in my heart that everything that I ever need in this life, God gives it to me through knowledge. He's given it to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge. That's why we need to read the word, and not just our favorite scriptures. But I encourage you and exhort you to read the whole word. You might not read through the whole Bible in a year. It took me till April 15th this year to finish reading through the Bible in a year. But you know what? On April 16th, I started right back in Genesis. God talks to us through his word. God gives answers to situations just in your regular Bible reading. And so this tells us that he gives us things through knowledge, so that the more knowledge we have, the more access to help, the more access to resources, the more access to wisdom that we have. And he's to him that's called us to glory and virtue. And so in my own words, he's called us to glory, and I call glory the highest level of spiritual excellence. He's called us to the highest level of spiritual excellence. He's called us to glory. That means the person you see here in the pulpit today, I'm not going to end up this way. And you're not going to end up the way you look today, because he's called us to glory. That means from glory to glory. As we study the word and we are changed and we are transformed, we are getting more and more like Christ. We're getting more and more perfected. And so he's also called us to glory, which I call the highest level of natural excellence, virtue, the highest level of natural excellence. So God is calling us to a place where we're continually undergoing transformation. And so that's good news. Husbands and wives, that's good news. It's good news that your spouse is continually under transformation and they're getting better and better and better. Amen? And it's good for you that you're continually getting better and better and better. Glory to God. So, even though we live in a fallen world, we train our minds to think, according to 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're always, as we go about our days, we're always aware that the way things look today, they are not the way that things have to look in the future. Because faith is always looking at the unseen. When we talk, say we're living by faith, yeah, you know, things might be going on in my life today, but I'm always looking at the manifestation of my faith. I'm always working on something in faith, amen? I believe that there is a solution to every need. I just believe that. I believe that God has an answer to everything, and it's just a matter of staying before him, digging in the word, praying, worshiping, whatever it takes to get into that place in God where he will open up the heavens and where he will drop into your heart what is that solution. But I believe there's a solution everywhere. And we can only find that solution by living above the line. Below the line, there's this natural life. There's this carnal thinking, because the scripture tells us to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if I want to live a good life and I want to have peace in my life, I need to make sure I'm living above the line. okay? When we are below the line, when we're just living a natural life, not considering what the scriptures say, okay? Living in this earth, that's not going to be the best life that God has for us. And it's basically a decision to walk by faith. It's a decision. It's not that you feel this real high spiritual buzz going around. But it's a decision to make sure that I give God's word first place. And I act like it's true. And even though everything around me might be telling me, no, that particular thing is not true. But I believe I receive it now. And I make myself have a good attitude about it. And I act like it's true. And I praise God. And before you know it, God will bring that promise to pass so subtly that you might not even notice it happen. So the first thing was faith. The second thing is wisdom. Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, there's that doing word again, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Let's look at that word great. So the man who built his house on sand, think of any images that you've seen of a wooden shack being carried away by a flood. This was not a wooden shack, because it says great was the fall of it. So apparently those who are not building their lives on a foundation of hearing God's word and doing it, they're building. They're building some great and wonderful and marvelous things in the world without God. Okay, men can do that. But it says that when that storm comes, it says great will be the fall of it. So as you're walking your Christian walk, sometimes things might take a little bit longer. Sometimes in the eyes of other people, we may seem foolish because we believe God instead of the situation. But God says when we are hearers of the word and doers, we are just steadily building that strong foundation. And in my prayer book, there's a confession that says, my life is built on a rock and no storm of life can make me fall. And that is a determination in my heart, and that should be a determination in your heart, that there is no storm in life that's going to make me fall. I've made a determination that I'm not going to yield my power to the enemy. I will not let him use my words. I will not let him use my thoughts. I will not let him use my actions to build his kingdom. Amen? Glory to God. Let's see. Let's go on down. You know, God's wisdom gives us the wisdom to know when to speak and when to stay silent. You know, when to push, when to let go. When to challenge, and when to take things to God in prayer. So God gives wisdom. I just love the Word of God. If there's anything that you will take from this teaching, the Word of God has such revelation for us. Sometimes we can get so caught up just in the day-to-day life that we don't give it the place that we need. And before you know it, you'll be sinking and sinking back into natural thinking. And before you know it, you won't be using your faith at all. And then we'll begin to toil. But I encourage you, it's got a word for everything. Glory to God. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk out uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Sometimes, as you go throughout your day, you may need wisdom. You may not know what to do. There are times that come up in my life when I really don't know what to do. What is the right thing to do? Because you want to do the right thing, right? You don't want to stick your nose into something and make a situation worse than it is. And so, but I can always come to this scripture. I said, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He's laid up sound wisdom for me. That means the situation that I'm in is no surprise to God. He has already laid up a solution for me. Amen. Glory to God. Proverbs 8, turn to Proverbs 8. I love the book of Proverbs. It's got so much wisdom. Proverbs 8:11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom is better than money. Wisdom is better than gold and silk. Wisdom is better than everything on the face of the earth. The Bible says, as Jesus Christ has become unto us wisdom. So when you get wisdom, you're getting Jesus. When you get wisdom, it's like the Spirit of God just comes and rests on you. And you can sense His presence leading and guiding you on what to say and what to do. And that's a good place to be in. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I love that verse, verse 18, riches and honor are with me. I understand that if there is provision that I'm in need of, first I seek the wisdom of God. Because riches and honor, it is an outflow of operating in the wisdom of God. Let's continue on. Number three, relationship. John, let's turn to John chapter 8 and verse 28. John 8, 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As we reflect on Jesus, really, when he was walking this earth, he had a solitary walk. There was nobody who really knew him as he was. Everybody else was spiritually dead. Amen. Everybody around him. So as far as who Jesus had to fellowship with, it was Jesus and his Father. Amen. He spent time with the Father. Right. He had a need, he went to the Father. He needed wisdom, he went to the Father. Right. And Jesus said, whatever he taught, he was taught of the Father. And he says, he that sent me is with me. And I love that scripture because that gives us the assurance that he that sent me is with me, that God is with me. You know, in our Christian walk, it's you and God. We must put our trust in God and make him a reality in our lives. Yes, some of us are married. Yes, you have friends, you have acquaintances, you have family, but when it all comes down to, you are gonna have to walk this walk with you and God. Because if we put too much trust in anything else or anyone else but God, when it happens that it doesn't look like they come through for us, or something happens on that relationship, then what happens to your faith? But if we let our relationship with God be our primary relationship, then when we let our wholeness come from God, when we let God deal with our faults, when we let God, you know, when we have that heart to heart with God in our prayer time, and we get all things settled, the things that try to unsettle us, when we get all that settled with our time with God, then when it's time to come out with people, then we can bring our best person. We can bring our best before them because we've dealt with all of our issues with God. Amen. I like John 17:3, which says, this then is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We can enjoy eternal life right here on this earth. And it's all tied up in our relationship with God. It's tied up in our trusting him, having faith in him, going to him when we need wisdom. It's all caught up in God. Glory to God. But it won't be without a fight. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold to eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. God has good things for us, but how many of you know that there are winds that are blowing in the opposite direction to what we want to go? And it's going to be a fight, but it's going to be a good fight. So I encourage you, according to Jude 1, 3, and 4, contend earnestly for the faith and don't let anything take it away from you. There may be times that the enemy will try to knock you off and get you unbalanced, but get back on the word. You know, get back in that time with God and it can't stay. No matter what the enemy brings against you, it can't stay. It's only there for a season. And if we make a determination in our hearts that we're going to stay with this word, then the situation's got to change. Make a decision in your heart that I'm not changing. I know the word of God. I love the word of God. There may be situations that are happening that are outside of my control. And you know what? I'm okay with that. There's a scripture that says that I've learned in all things wherewith to be content. Okay, I've learned to be content. Let me just give you an example. Recently, I was in the kitchen, I was washing dishes, and I was just kind of thinking on some things. And I was getting kind of frustrated, I'm being transparent here, because I believe that there was more that I thought I should be doing in the kingdom than what I was doing. And you know, I deal with this periodically. I said, Lord, I have so much more to offer. And then what came up in me, I said, because, Lord, I don't want to miss my reward. Amen. You know, I know we're in this earth for a very short time. Amen. And our service to God and our faithfulness, that's going to determine our eternal rewards. You know, that's going to determine, you know, do we get that great, beautiful mansion or do we get a mansion that's in the boonies of heaven? I know the boondocks of heaven are really glorious, but I'm saying now. If there's anything that I can do to make eternity even more glorious, I want to do it while I have a chance here in this earth. And so, but even at those times, God always has a word for me. 100% of the time, God always has a word for me. And he had a word for me in my regular Bible study. And let's turn to it in the book of Ruth. And it was such a perfect scripture. When God gives words, I mean, he gives a perfect scripture that is always very pertinent. And one word from God can just dispel all of the confusion and chaos and fear and worry and torment. Just one word. One word. That's how powerful the word is. And so this is the word he gave me. And I love it. Ruth 2 and verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Isn't that good? So this is just my regular Bible study. God said, I will be given a full reward so I can stop stressing out about wanting to do great things in the kingdom and feeling like I'm in a box. But that's good because it changed my whole perspective. It helped me live in the now. You know, sometimes we can be so focused on something coming to pass in the future that we're not enjoying everyday life. That we're so focused that, okay, life will be good when XYZ happens. Okay, life will be better when I get this, that, and the other. Life, you know, and it's like, you know what? I've learned right where I am. I'm okay. I'm okay if I'm where I am till Jesus comes. But that doesn't mean I stop using my faith. That just means that I can live in today and I can enjoy today. If you remember when God, the Jews were taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. For 70 years. And God wasn't about to change it to 6 years. It was going to be 7 years, no matter how much they prayed, fasted, cried, complained, believed God, confessed the word, they were going to be in Babylon for 70 years. So if you think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, think about Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra. Just think about it. These were people who loved God, who had a heart for God, but they were using their talents and their gifts for Babylon, for the world system. They were in slavery. They were humiliated. They were looked at as an outcast people. They remember their heritage being a glorious, powerful kingdom under David, under Solomon. And here they were, God's covenant people, in a situation where they felt humiliated. But you know what? Just like Joseph, when he was in prison, he was faithful right where he was. He didn't have a pity party. You know, he served right where, in the circumstance he was in, he served. And God raised him up and God elevated him. And in all of these situations that even though God did not deliver them, God was with them and God helped them through it. And so God has shown us through the years, just be faithful where you are, you know, and make sure that you're seeking to keep God first, and he'll watch over you, he'll provide for you, and now we know that he'll give you your reward. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Now, another way, so the things that have helped me both in my life is making sure I'm staying in faith, seeking the word of God for the wisdom, so helping me to make right decisions, and my relationship with the Lord. Amen. And so, as we look at our lives, how do we know that we're doers of the word of God? And I just wrote some things. How do we know that we're doers of the word of God? One, when you internally seek not just natural wisdom, but God's higher wisdom throughout the day. When you seek God's higher wisdom. Two, when you choose to agree with and say what God said and not what the situation looks like. Number three, when certain spiritual activities have become a habit that helps define your life. That there are spiritual things that you do as a part of your life. And so they help you define, and those are the things that you put priority, and those are the things that help determine other decisions during the day. There's some things that in your heart you said, I will not do. I'm a Christian, and I won't do it. And you're okay with that, right? Okay, how do I know when I'm a doer of the word of God? When your first reaction, when you hear news, your first reaction is to aggressively solve the problem instead of camping around it and complaining. I like that scripture in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. When Israel was under siege, and there are four leprous men at the entering of the gates, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So, I talk to myself. Why sit we here? Don't just sit here in this situation. God has given you wisdom. He's given you his spirit. He's given you his word. At the least I can do is download a confession from God and start speaking God's word over this situation and not let the devil push me around. Amen. Not let the affairs of life try to push me around, but let me establish my thoughts in the word of God and come out of that prayer time as an overcomer. Amen. Let me give you an example. I got lots of prayers that I pray. Glory to God. There's this one prayer that I prayed. And, you know, sometimes we can get discouraged. I mean, you know, we're faith people. We believe God. But how many of you know when the enemy starts putting pressure on, he looks for us. He looks for one sliver of opportunity in our lives. And sometimes when he comes, it's like one thing after another, and it's like you can't do anything right. You know, it's like you feel like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But there was one time the enemy was really trying to discourage me. And so I wrote a confession I call Stay the Course. And should I read some of it? Because it's like, I am not going to let anything in this natural realm, I'm not going to let anything in this spiritual realm get me off of my faith, cause me to throw in the towel, cause me to quit, cause me to give up. No! We are more than conquerors, amen? God has a whole world out there that he needs to reach. And I am determined to get the church at a level where we are in such faith, in such love, in such confidence, in such health, in such the presence of God that Isaiah 60 will come to pass. They'll see our light. They'll be drawn to the glory of God that is within us. And I don't care what news report I hear, I believe the report of the Lord. And I believe that before Jesus comes, that is going to be the state of the church. Amen? So, this is a confession that I wrote to keep me on course. Father in heaven, I thank you that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. I thank you as you've commanded us to get wisdom and understanding, it must be available for us to obtain. Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore today I get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I exalt wisdom, and wisdom exalts me and brings me to honor, bringing me grace and glory. I rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I silence every voice of defeat and failure. I purge my thoughts and memories of all words and images that oppose the knowledge of God. I bring every thought captive to obey Christ. I command my entire being to come into alignment with the truth. I resist the downward pull of darkness, and I release the light and life of the word of God to enlighten my pathway and to lead me in the way that I should go. I engage the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I hearken to the spirit of truth who guides me into all truth. I have the spirit of faith. I imitate my Heavenly Father as I abide in Him and His words abide in me. So now in the name of Jesus, as I seek the Lord in His Word, by His Spirit, I tap into creative kingdom solutions that will transform confusion, chaos, ambiguity, and distress into clarity, order, purpose, and peace. I stop the downward spiral of thoughts, words, and events in my life. I tread on serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I command all enemy forces and demonic spirits assigned to orchestrate my downfall to remain under the Lord's feet as His footstool. I unravel every tangled web of containment, and I access the liberty and freedom of the Spirit and truth who dwells within me. I thank You, Lord, there is 100% victory for me at all times in every circumstance. Your thoughts and plans for me are for good. I'm willing to endure temporary discomfort as a stepping stone to greater glory. I refuse to break under pressure. I choose to stand and not flee. I choose the fight of faith, and I laugh at cowardice and adversity. I take my stand and hold my ground. I remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. My labor is not in vain. My work shall be rewarded. Jesus Christ is my advocate and covenant enforcer, the apostle and high priest of my profession. Power is on the side of the righteous and the redeemed, and I triumph in Christ. I see everything through the eyes of faith. Continue, continue, continue. Amen. So, you may feel like the enemy's trying to box you in a corner. He's trying to sap the life out of you. He's trying to pressure. He's trying to pile on things. And the least, from my perspective, the least I can do is open up this word, write a confession, speak the word of God. The Bible says, is it James 4:7? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and what will happen? And he will flee from you. And sometimes it doesn't always feel good when we're in that position where we need to resist them. But God's word, if we believe the word of God, God says, submit to God. And by speaking the word, I'm submitting to the truth. Resist, and he will flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so, again, and you know, as we determine to live by faith, sometimes we can find ourselves really having to use our faith all the time. It's like, and there have been times I said, Lord, I'm believing for everything. And I started to go into this area of stress. Now, I don't stress out about stuff, but it's like I just felt like I'm having to use my faith all the time on everything, and I just need a rest. And I remember we went on vacation this summer, and it's like that first day, I just had to de-stress. I didn't even read my Bible. I read some magazines. I just had to settle down. Just you know, settle down, let things settle down. And then I went on my way. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm spending too much of my focus trying to make some things happen. And I need to spend some time to relax, sometimes to enjoy life. And it's like, Lord, I don't even remember what I enjoy anymore. So I said, okay, I'm going to get some massages. I'm going to make sure I'm working out at the health club. I'm going to, I decided to go kayaking. Yes, I did. Here, let me show you a picture. This is what it looked like. Can you see? Can you show that? Get a close-up. I went kayaking in the Everglades of Florida. So it's like there's huge trees everywhere. And it's protected area, so there's no development. And it was just so peaceful. It's like, oh my God. It's like, I love nature. And it's like, you could just sense the presence of God everywhere. Now, I loved it. And you know what? I didn't even ask my husband to go with me kayaking because you know what? I am sure he did not like kayaking. Which he didn't. I said, you know, would you like to come? You're really invited. But, you know, that wasn't his thing. And that's okay. You know, I've come to know, to learn over these past 30-some years of marriage that a lot of times husbands and wives are very different. Anybody find that out? I mean, not just this is different, but this different. And once you realize that, you know, it's okay to be you, because he is not like her and she is not like him, but don't be ashamed to be you. You know, I'm me and I like me. I'm striving to be better, but you know, so I felt okay with pursuing that which would help me to relax. And that's all I'm saying. I took the time to figure out, okay, how do you separate from what's going on and just kind of regroup? And it's different things for different people. I remember one time we vacationed in Colorado. And like I said, I love nature. And we went horseback riding. And it was in the mountains, but it was a valley in the mountains. So we were surrounded by trees. And it was glorious. Some I really understand what George Washington Carver, when he loved nature. I mean, he was a botanist, and he said when he would just, God would just talk to him. And I can understand what that's like. When you're living in the city, if you've never been in the country, you need to go out into the country. Because city life is an artificial existence. It really is. But it's like, if we can just identify some things that really help refresh us. Of course the word refreshes us. But what we can do to kind of get away from the rush and really learn how to refresh ourselves. And so it'll have to be a step of faith. Glory to God. Okay, so you know, in my testimony of living by faith, I've come to learn a lot, but I've come to learn that there's a lot that we really don't understand. You know, there's things that happen. We can use our faith, and it may happen immediately, but God may be waiting for the next generation to make things happen. And he did do that in the Bible. But you know what? We're still going to walk with God. We're still going to live our lives according to God. We're still going to apply our faith. We're still going to extend grace to people, amen? And we're going to extend grace to ourselves, and we're going to understand that God has given us the word to reveal his heart to us and to help us to draw near to him. So I just want to encourage you that each one of you, I know each one of you has a testimony of faith. And as we're born again, we set our hearts to live by faith. And so I want to encourage you, just continue on, that there will be a reward. For every sacrifice you make, there will be a reward. For every project that you take on by faith and you get the victory, you're going to be rewarded for it. For God is with you. Amen? God bless you. Thank you so much.